there's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.
All right, and we are live, guys, and this is going to be, a very active live stream with a lot going on in the live chat. So I want to say a couple things out of the gate here. Number one, people that are here to cause problems, they're going to get deleted and thrown out today. I don't have time for it, and I already had to do that. Before I even opened my mouth, there was one of them, so... He's gone. The next thing is I'm going to try to cover this entire thing completely differently than you've heard it on the news. I mean, there'll be some of the things you've heard and finally came out. I'm going to cover this from a standpoint of let's talk about what happened. And let's talk about the media's utter failure to tell us what was going on. Well, all of us knew what was going on, especially those of us who were using X. And I'll come up with something today about X. And I want to put a thank you out to somebody I've been pretty critical of, and that is Elon Musk. We wouldn't have half the knowledge we have right now without X. I know for a fact that quite a few things that are legitimate were being taken down on other social media sites like Facebook as quickly as they were being put up in an attempt to control the narrative. Whether that's still going on or not, I don't know, because once things get out to a certain degree, you kind of can't really do that anymore. I'm huge on Freedom Tech. I'll probably talk about that a little bit today. I'm big on Noster, but the info wasn't there at the speed and reliability that was on X. That's not because Noster's inferior. It's because it doesn't have enough users yet. It didn't have a network effect like X did. X was amazing, and a lot of what I'm bringing to you, at least the beginning of finding it, started there and really, really quick. I want to cover this from two angles today as well. I want to cover this, and I want you guys to help me. I want you guys to help me in the live chat because I really can't be on this much. My notes today are, you know, half a mile long, and I can't deal with people giving me bullshit and trying to answer them today when they don't even know what I'm talking about. And what I mean by that is there's going to be a point today where I switch to let's examine this as though there is no malice aforethought by anybody in the government. It's just incompetence. That is not what I think is most probable, and by the time we're done today, you'll fully understand why I don't think that's the most probable explanation. I do believe it's a possible explanation. And if you're a journalist that actually does your fucking job, unlike CNN, MSNBC, Fox News at all, okay? Like, the best news coverage of this has been BBC and freaking Sky News Australia. They've done the job that our media still isn't doing, okay? But if you are a journalist, and I don't really tend to think of myself day to day as a journalist, but when I cover stuff like this, I act as one. Then it is incumbent upon you to investigate all possible angles. When I get to that, there's a high probability with a live that's going to go as long as this one is and is going to hit as many different things as this is, there will be people coming and going, and there will be people that come into this live stream when I'm in that section who will start running off at the mouth, calling me a shill for the establishment or some other bullshit, or stupid or whatever. I'm going to cover both possibilities. If you guys would do me a favor in the live chat, and when that shit starts, shut it down for me. I would appreciate it so I don't have to acknowledge them, so I don't have to deal with them. And because I think some of those people will mean well, they just won't know. You know, this will probably be an hour and a half to 2 hour stream today. And they won't know what I've already said by the time I get there and what I'm going to say after. So I'm kind of telling you right at the beginning, I think it's most probable that there was some malice from our own government, the agency itself, something like that in this. But I don't think it's the only possibility. So we have to look at both possibilities if we're going to be even-handed. What I want to do before we start that, though, is go ahead and take care of our housekeeping. And since this one's going to go long, and I don't want to kind of end it with any kind of non-related content at the very end, I'm going to do our sponsor segments because we have to pay the bills. And I'm going to give you my item of the day for you today that has nothing to do with what we're talking about at all. But it was all ready to go, and I didn't want to not do it today at the beginning here so that once we start rolling, we're done with any kind of peripheral content. So sponsor of the day, number one today, is Start 9 Embassy Servers. And I can tell you this is a little bit related to some of the stuff we're going to talk about to me today. If you believe half the shit that people say they believe about our government and you're not using privacy technology, really, then do you really believe what you're saying? You know, I'll be using some content in the show today where I communicated with people that I have as sources. And some of that was done because some of them aren't actually inside the fold with Start 9, but some was actually done over totally encrypted end-to-end messaging with Start 9 for their privacy more than my own. Like, if I'm going to report it publicly, I don't care that I'm saying it. I care that maybe they're giving me information that could not be wrong, illegal, or anything like that, but just could impact them negatively. And so Start 9, everybody likes to talk about the fact you're in a Bitcoin node, BT Pay server, Lightning node, all that stuff. But there's so many other things you can do, like access your data from anywhere in the world fully encrypted, have end-to-end encrypted messaging that's so easy. If you can use any messenger service, you can use it. Check out Start9.com today. Remember, 9% off for MSB members on all purchases at Start9.com. And if you stack that and use Fold to make your purchase at Start9, you can save another 9% plus earn sats back. So check that out today. Next up today is Anton's Long Land of Biltong. Anton's really not up in the rotation till later this week. I wanted to bring him on Monday, though, because he's in a situation also involving government. He needs to move out of the location that he's at right now. He was already opening a second store. That's going to just become the store in a different local governance. I don't want to talk about the problem itself too much. Maybe Anton will write up a little blog post for me on cut and paste for him, put out on our blog where our podcast is served up, and let you know more about it. The big deal is he just wants to liquidate as much inventory as he can as fast as possible to make the move easier to do. So if you want to start, if you want to actually fight government and overreaching bureaucracy, and in this case, local government, and eat really good stuff, check out Anton's Land of Biltong today. And remember, they also do a discount for members of the MSB. Next up today, like I said, I'm going to go ahead and do item of the day out of the gate. It seems a little out of place here at the beginning of the episode on such a subject today, but I think it will seem more out of place at the end. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it out for you right now. This is the Orbit Tripod Impact Sprinkler. I'll just say there's a link. You can go to the survivalpodcast.com and you'll find it there. Either right under this episode, or if this episode hasn't been published as an audio yet, you'll find it at the top of the page. It's an awesome product. I'll tell you more about it tomorrow because it is a little bit out of place. I just wanted to mention it. But if you want to use a product that is probably the most flexible form of irrigation that we have, you want to check this out. And if you think you know all there is to know about impact sprinklers, what's called those whirly birds, check that video out. I've had several people tell me already, I don't need this, but God, I learned so much in that video. There's so many ways you can adjust those. Anyway, let's dig on into this. So I want to come at this again. And again, if people come in later on and I'm talking about the incompetence theory, state right out of the gate. If you ask me, Jack, what are your percentage of odds that this is malice versus incompetence? 90-10. But I'll go 80-20. I'll go as high as 20%. This is incompetence. 80%. There was somebody somewhere inside the system that enabled or aided in this happening with some level of intent. So if I get to the incompetence part and somebody starts shrieking and acting autistic and yelling at me, you guys handle it. I don't really have time for it. The next thing I want to say is I don't know how much feedback and interaction with the live stream I'm going to have today. We're already over 300 people. We just got started. I bet this is going to be 500-600 people. It may get too fast for me to actually do. There may be too much for me to actually respond to. And some of the questions people are going to have indefinitely will be answered during this presentation. So what I'm probably going to say to you is go ahead and hit question or comment in all caps in the live stream if you're there. Then, you know, keep it brief, one sentence, and I'll try. But it's more likely the case that I'll do a follow-up show on this. And any questions you have, email them to me, jack@thesurvivalpodcast.com, and TSPC in the subject line. And I might do a follow-up on this if it's called for, because, again, I got a lot to cover. So there's only two, and there's only two ways to explain this. It's either gross incompetence or malice. There's no way Secret Service did everything right and this happened. I'll talk more about it in the future, or later in the episode, but I'm going to say right out of the gate, this is as bad as it gets for Secret Service. You would say, well, it would be worse if Trump got killed. But it really isn't from a standpoint of, did the Secret Service do its job? Trump didn't die by freak luck. He turned and tilted his head at the moment of the shot. Had he not done that, he would be dead today. So the primary job of the Secret Service is the protectee, because it's not always a president or a former president or a candidate. Sometimes it's a world leader, a dignitary, something like that. They have one primary job, protect the protectee at all cost. That's why you saw some very brave people, and I'm going to say some negative stuff about some of them today, but I'm not going to say they're not brave. Throw their body in front of him after the shots. Like, you have to have some stones to do that. And I know by the time that happened, they had heard over the radio, shoot her down. If you know anything at all, you know that doesn't mean anything. Because you're always suspecting more than one. You're always suspecting more than one. You always know the danger's not gone. So they did do some pretty brave shit, at least the group that coalesced around them, including somebody I'm going to say some negative stuff about, one particular person in that group. They did stand up and do their job when it was called for. But their job above all is protecting the protectee. You, especially on what you would call the tier one defense or level one defense, and there's three, I'm not going to get deep into it, there's three levels of defense that go into this. There's a first, second, and third level. And those guys up on the roof, we'll talk about this more when we get to them, the counter snipers, they're third level defense. Okay, there's a primary tier, middle tier, top tier, call it what you want, okay? But if you are on that first tier where you're close to the protectee, you are not even really trained to go look for the threat. You're trained to go directly to the protectee and protect them. So if somebody puts a bullet on the protectee, and by a freak of luck, nature, divine intervention, whatever you think it is, they don't die. It's not a less bad outcome as to your performance. It may be a less bad outcome as to the result. But this is a complete failure by Secret Service. 100% complete failure by Secret Service, regardless of whether or not there was malice involved. So this is so bad that I'll tell you what I don't believe. If there is malice, it's not everybody that was there. It's probably not even the guys that shot the dude eventually, the counter snipers who are in on it. Though they could be, I don't know, and I don't pretend to know, like a lot of stupid fucks, okay? There's a lot of stupid shit going on, people acting like they know exactly what happened. You don't know shit. All we know is what we saw. That's what we're going to cover today. But that's it. Like, you give me another explanation, incompetence or malice. Give me a third, because the third option, the Secret Service did everything right and some things are just outside of your control, is bullshit. And if you believe that, you should probably not talk to people, and you should probably see to getting some counseling, because you're mentally ill and you simply want to believe something that supports, I don't know, the narrative of the state or something like that. You have Stockholm syndrome or something. There is no third option. And that's where I'm coming at this. The next thing is, I want to talk about how the media was just completely incompetent right out of the gate with this. I mean, absolutely fell down on their face. Citizen journalism did more than the media and continues to do so. They reported things like Trump fell down, was injured by glass. Now, I actually, because my wife follows politics way more than me, we had Trump's speech going, and we saw it live. And immediately, once I realized, okay, he's not dead, I started rewinding to see it from the beginning before they started replaying it all. And it was very clear what happened. Like, 2 minutes into it, you knew what happened. Multiple shots fired by somebody at a distance, nicked the president, hit some other people. And you knew that, and the Secret Service moved Trump into the vehicle and took him away. We knew that. They were saying, again, things like Trump fell down. He was injured by glass. The presentation was interrupted by Secret Service after a loud noise. It was an incident. So the media put a lid on this hard right from the beginning. What I'm about to show you is one of those things where I have to 100% state I do not have proof that what I'm going to show you is actually something that was sent to the press. It's hearsay, but it's hearsay from a fairly reliable source, being DC Drano. I've followed this guy, DC Drano, on X and other places for a long time. He has a good track record of being accurate. So he didn't say, my problem is he didn't say where he got this, and it's in a black and white slide. So I can't report this as confirmed, but I would report this as probable based on the source and the source's history. This was supposedly sent to all the mainstream media in the United States immediately after the shooting. Hello, reminder to stick to facts. Don't speculate, editorialize, sensationalize, or jump to conclusions from reporting the Trump rally incident today. So if this is fake, somebody took a lot of time to make sure they used the words that the media was using as the media used them. So it's a very well done fake if it's a fake. Do not call it an assassination attempt unless authorities say it is. Now, we all watched the guy get shot at, hit in the freaking ear. We all heard that other people had been hit. The media certainly knew this, but that's exactly what they did. Don't say shooting targeting Trump or the rally unless authorities confirm that connection. So somebody shoots at Trump, but don't say somebody shot at Trump. Clarify if it's actually gunshots. That's unclear at the moment. No, it wasn't. Everybody involved on the ground and all the media had people on the ground knew it was a gunshot. If authorities don't know, then it's okay to say that. You knew. Okay? Anchors, reminder to be mindful of body language. Anchors, be mindful of your body language when reporting the story. Do you remember, who was it? Was it Walter Cronkite? It was one of the old school news people. He actually used to do news. If you're old enough to remember, I remember Reagan being shot. Going, oh my God, the president's been shot. Like, seriously impacted by this news. Don't do that. Don't do that. No need for serious face or adding comments and adjectives for color. No need to say scary moments today at Trump rally. Just get to the story, which they just told you not to tell. At this moment, no need for guests to comment. Again, this is all just a reminder. I know we all know. So this is your government. And again, I'm not saying this is 100% confirmed. I'm just saying this is highly probable that this shit happened. Again, this came out before a lot of the bullshit. Like, this was out early. DC Drano posted this before a lot of the MSN, MSNBC, CNN, et cetera, Fox News even, putting these things out that were ridiculous. I saw that first, and then the media posting their bullshit second. That's just the timeline. So I would call that highly probable that that happened. And based on things like the Twitter files and Matt, how do you say his last name, Tabibi? Like his work on what went on with censorship and all. I have no doubt the government would do this. I just can't say 100% confirmed that they did. And I really wish more of my fellow journalists would actually start doing some fucking journalism and actually report shit the way I just did right there. That's the only responsible way to report that piece of information. I felt it was credible enough that I didn't want to leave it out today, but not confirmed enough to act as though it were confirmed. You should try it, guys. You guys at CNN and MSNBC and Fox and all, OLN, et cetera. Like, a lot of you actually went to fucking college and you have degrees in journalism. Why don't you try actually dusting some of that shit off, reading the books and doing what the fuck the book says to do, like to confirm sources, et cetera. I want to drive this home, and I know a lot of you guys have seen this already, but when I say they said stupid shit, I'm not kidding. This is a screenshot from CNN. Headline, Trump speech interrupted by Secret Service. Trump's speech interrupted, but like, the Secret Service shut it down. It was them. Secret Service said, like, here's another one. Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally. And many of you have seen the meme, and I think it's a very well done meme, honestly. It says if CNN was around or MSNBC was around in the 60s, it would have said JFK falls really, really, really hard. This is ridiculous. There is no way these people were doing this without knowing what happened. And that's why I say that that cut sheet that I showed you, giving them instructions as to what to do and how to do it from government to media is probably true. Because, again, the cut sheet was leaked and the media bullshit came after the fact. That's pretty bad, guys. The media is also already blaming Trump and the right for a climate of violence. And I'm not going to play clips of all this because a lot of this you have seen. But they're saying things like Trump should not have stood up and said fight, fight, fight after nearly being killed because, quote, this is a quote, that's not what people are looking for right now. That's not what people are looking for right now. So the man was 30 seconds from having a bullet pierce his ear, being millimeters from death. And what he's supposed to do is worry about what the fucking leftist media and the leftist loons want right now. These, you know, I said on Thursday on my anchor segment for the Expert Council show, if you saw it, that there's mental illness on the left. And I went through a litany of things. This is just another example. Now, I also think it's spin, but I also think there's a lot of people out there bobbing their heads up and down. Oh, yeah, he shouldn't have said fight because they hate the man that bad. They have Trump's derangement syndrome that bad. If you're somebody with TDS, I got bad news for you. No matter what you think of Trump, he's your next, unless they do this again and get him this time, he's your next president. He is going to win in a, like a 1980s Reagan landslide over Carter. I still don't think it'll get him to a 1984 Reagan landslide. But it's going to get him to a 1980 landslide. Like, I had already, before this happened, again, I'm the weatherman here. I don't vote, folks. Like, I'm not in the tank for Trump, for some of you that may drift into this from some other place and don't know me. I am an anarchist. That's why I have an agorist flag behind me with, representing the gray and black markets. Okay? So I don't have a team in this. I'm just like the weatherman telling you when the storm's coming or a sunny day's coming. And I guess that is up to you how to look at it. But this man will be the 47th president, the second time ever that a president held office, lost the reelection bid, and came back in. Right? This will be the second time that's ever happened in history. You're going to witness history. It's going to happen. There's no way out of this now. The media said multiple times as well, and I want to show this photo. This is an extremely famous photo now, and it will probably remain one of the most famous photos of all time. It's Trump, not before, after the shot hit him. This is before he reacted to it. And if you know anything about rifles and the speed of sound versus the speed of a bullet, he felt the impact and heard the round go by his ear before he heard the shot. Because that's how it works. I've been downrange in certain situations and heard rounds come in and impact and then heard the shot behind it. The bullet is traveling in the neighborhood of 5x the speed of sound. But what you see back there includes probably part of his ear. The media has reported this, and I saw just this morning this picture being reported, is that is the bullet on the way in. No, that's the bullet on the way out. For all we know, it's the bullet that hit the poor gentleman in the head that died. Okay, how do we know this? You'll see some diagrams later, but he's looking in the direction the shot came from. He's looking in the exact same direction that everybody in the audience ran over to and started filming at after the shot. So your media can't even get the direction of the fucking shot right. They cannot be trusted. Guys, they cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted. They cannot. So I'm saying, like, this isn't even about what actually happened yet. This is just how the media covered it. They have still not reported on things like there's a ladder. And I found this ladder in an image. I think probably I was one of the first people to find it. So somebody posted this picture, and I shared it on Twitter. This is the building, for those that are on the audio only, you'll just have to follow my words here. This is the building that the shooter was on. And I stated that there's a, if you look, there's an alcove. And in this picture, and this is going to be important later to think about where this person was at when he was shot. In the, there's a red circle on the roof, but toward the foreground of the circle, there's a kind of blurry blob that is just on the other side of the eave of the roof. That is the shooter dead, blurred out from this overhead thing from Sky News. And as soon as I saw this image, and this is not about me, this is about the incompetence of our media. I looked at this roof and said, there's multiple ways to get up onto here. But if I wanted to get up there as quickly as possible from the parking lot, there's a little alcove with like three evergreen shrubs, really tall ones, covering all the way to the top of the alcove. I would have stashed gear in advance behind those trees. I would have left a ladder there. And I would have went up that ladder, unpacked my rifle, went over the eave, and shot at Trump, if that was me, if that was my plan to do it. That's how I would have approached this. Now, this also plays into, was it malice or incompetence? Because if I'm the head of security, like if I did that instantly looking at this picture, if I'm like the event commander of this, the incident commander of this, that's running the whole op, then when I go out and I look at this location prior to setting up, I'm going to see that. I mean, I didn't have to think for half a second. That's where I would gain entry. You pull in, you park, there's people everywhere. It's a public business. Nothing prevents you from doing it. You don't have anything in your hands. You go up on the roof. If you look right in from the trees on the alcove, right where there's a place you could climb up onto and then get on the roof, there's a tunnel connecting one building to the next. They've called this all one building. It's really three buildings with interconnections, right? Tunneled interconnections. There's a big black dot. That big black dot, I cannot confirm, but I think that big black dot is probably the case the rifle was in. If it was left there or not, I don't know, but even if he showed up with it, he would have a case. It looks like he jettisoned some gear and left it right there. So you can see exactly where he came up. So I'm looking at that, and I go in, and I blow it up. This is like, again, why isn't the media doing its job? I blow that image up, and if you look, if you're watching the video right now, you can see that right along the edge of the tree that's the furthest to the right, it looks like a ladder. So I said, I think that's a ladder. And some folks came back and said, it's probably a raster. It probably isn't. Well, real quick, also from Sky News, there you go. From a different angle, there's the ladder. There's the ladder. Now, why hasn't our media reported on this? This is a big piece of the story. It is very clear on this that it is highly probable, like 99% probable, that the shooter got up on the roof at exactly that location. That means he came through that parking lot, walked back in there, climbed up the ladder, and was able to carry out his objective, only failed by missing the shot due to a freak accident, luck, divine intervention, call it whatever you want to. I mean, you realize there's no way around this, right? Let me go ahead and blow that image up for those of you there. Look at the, it's sitting there. Sky News Australia has the image. MSNBC, CNN, Fox News can't find their buttholes. This image was out in less than an hour after this happened. Again, our media has completely laid down on the job on reporting this. They haven't done any, it seems to me like they're just not interested in figuring any of this out. They want to talk about it. They keep rerunning the same five things over and over again. Fox News at least is playing some of the left-wing loons on TikTok, screaming and yelling, you should have not missed and stuff like that. Take marksmanship lessons and all. I won't be playing that. We know those people exist. And most of it's probably engagement farming. The media, you know what they're saying now? Again, I don't have a clip for this. I don't want to just make this show all about clips. The media is saying now that what they're hearing from their contacts in the government, meaning the federal government, is, well, I want to get this right. I had to pause for there and really think about this because this seems so stupid. The biggest threat going forward is retaliatory violence. So yeah, somebody shot at Trump yesterday, but what we're really worried about today, or Saturday, right? What we're really worried about today is the right retaliating. The right's done jack shit fuck all in all of this. I know there's at least some special children in the live feed right now. January 6th, shut up. I don't care. I don't give a fuck about the riot that happened, not insurrection, riot that happened on January 6th. It is what it is. I personally warned people in advance, do not go. Okay? I had intel and I reported it that it was a setup and bad shit was going to happen. I told my wife, you're going to see a riot tomorrow in Washington, D.C. She didn't believe me. Boom, there it was. Okay? So it was dumb. It shouldn't have happened. And the people that actually hurt somebody should pay for it. And they are. And many people who didn't do fucking anything wrong are sitting in federal prison right now. And they have been had their rights withheld and shit. I don't give a fuck about your January 6th bullshit. I'm talking about this today because this is what actually just happened. And we know what happened here because, gee, it turns out when a bunch of people with cameras video everything and post it, the people in fucking Congress can't delete that shit and say it didn't happen. We know what happened because citizens became journalists today or on that day. And we need more of it. Let's talk about what we know happened. One thing we know happened. This is irrefutable. This cannot be denied. This is not my opinion. That the guy that shot Trump in the ear injured three other people. One was a child who was superficially injured, grazed on the neck. One was a 54-year-old man who is in critical condition. The other one was, a 73-year-old man who's also critically injured and in the hospital. And then the last person involved was an individual who was struck in the head, brain matter out, doctor tried to save his life. Wasn't anything he could do. Okay? That we all know happened. But we also know that before a single shot was fired, there were people who saw this guy on the roof who told police officers for multiple minutes, there's a guy up there with a rifle. There's a guy up. You got to do something. There's a guy up there with a rifle. I don't want to turn this into a clip show, but I do want to play this video for you of exactly what happened leading up to the shooting.
He was doing his job. I wouldn't even be doing this. I get some beautiful police supporters.
Look, they're all pointing.
Yeah, go get the Pacific.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there.
Yeah.
Right there. See him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
Oh, he's caught. And Scott, I'm here with you. Finding my tail to get a sentence.
What's happening?
And to make sure we take back the lives, because if we do, we're going to make America better than ever before.
Yeah, look,
and
there he is.
Easy, because we have millions and millions
officer.
Of people in our country that
should be. Okay, right there you heard somebody yell, officer. There's a cop at this location while this is going on. I'm not sure of the clips I picked to show you if this is the one that you can actually see the cop or not. But in one clip of this moment in time, you actually see the cop walking, tactical equipment on, police in white letters on his back around the corner. We'll see if it's this one or not. There were several different clips to pick from.
Dangerous people. Criminals. We have criminals.
We have
people that
right
should not be here.
Right here. Right on the roof.
It's much tougher than
it happened. Right on the roof, they got.
He was doing his job.
All right, so this isn't the one where you actually see the cop. You have to take my word for it. But if you look, you'll find it. It's the version that was put out probably from somebody else's camera, was put out by TMZ, that you actually see this cop for a couple seconds as he goes around the corner of the building in no apparent rush or concern or whatsoever. So this is, it's also the case. Somebody's mentioning this right now. I don't have this in my notes, but this seems legitimate that this happened, that he was kind of seen near the gate before the event even started and kind of set off some alarm bells, and a BOA was put out on the guy. But that's another unconfirmed, but that is a report that I do have that does track. But you had people screaming. Okay, now wait a minute. This is an event run by Secret Service. You've got cops. I don't know if you've ever dealt with cops. They all have radios and shit. that you would think when there's people screaming, he's up there, he has a rifle, officer, he's up there, that he would at least call in. We've got reports of a guy on a roof with a rifle. Now, if you know anything about the way Secret Service would run an event, that moment right there should have been the call. Protect the president. All the people on the Tier 1 defense should have came in immediately surrounding the president and escorted him the hell out of there. That's what should have happened, and it didn't happen. And we know this happened, and we know that's protocol. We know that's what should – so we know right there there was a breakdown in what was supposed to happen. Now, there's a lot of ways that could happen. Did the cop not radio it in? How many cops were over there? Apparently several. And we'll get to why nobody was on the roof in a minute, because somebody should have been on that roof. But this is not opinion. You just saw it or you heard it if you're on the audio version of the show only. And we need to stick to at least at first what we know happened before we say what we think happened. The next is counter snipers absolutely did have a view to where the shooter was. But there's diagrams being circulated right now that are part of the problem. There are a lot of people that they get all their attention, all their follows, all their money, all their ratings from going conspiracy, 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 nonstop. And when something really does happen, they can't be happy reporting it the way that it happened. They have to add to it. They have to be sensational. They have to be the person that's breaking information, even if they have to make it up. Or they take real information and they just make it misleading. So let's talk about this. Now, let me tell you what we got right about this diagram, and I'll describe it to people who are on the audio. You've got Secret Service on a building just behind, and as you're looking from the front to the left of Trump, like would be over Trump's, I'm sorry, right of Trump, over Trump's right shoulder as he's facing toward my direction on the camera. And they are facing directly at the building the shooter was on the roof of. And they have a line of sight, and the shooter has a line of sight. Okay, that we know. This is how we know when the media told you that the infamous will be one of the most famous pictures of all time, where you see the track of the bullet next to Trump's head that he was hit in the back of the ear. This is how you know they couldn't even get that right. Look at the way things are. Trump is facing the crowd. The squares you see behind the stage are the people in the bleachers behind Trump. All of the crowd is like out toward me. Trump standing there facing me, he turns his head to his right. How does he get shot in the back of the ear? That's bullshit. But here's more bullshit. The person that made this diagram, I believe, knew full well what they were doing, and it is quite deceptive. It is bad. This makes it look worse, I believe, on purpose. The reason is where they have the diagram of the sniper all the way to the foreground of the building that he was on is nowhere near where that guy was located. That's not where he was. Where was he? Let's go look at this image right here. Back to the image. This is the alcove. There's an alcove with three trees in it where the ladder was. You can see a piece of gear dropped on the roof, like I said before. And you see the blur that is the guy that fucked around and found out with his head getting blown off. Literally got his head blown off by a 308, I would imagine. Look where he is. He's not where that diagram shows him to be. That diagram would show him in this image to be all the way on the other end of the roof. Why does that matter? It matters because you see these big fucking trees right here? And these are like evergreens for those that can't see the image go all the way to the ground. The Secret Service counter snipers did have some concealment between them and the shooter. And if I'm the shooter, that's where I'd want to be. I'd want those trees between me and the guy that wants to blow my brains out. I really would. I am not absolving anybody here. I'm just saying that when we make something look worse than it is to try to make our point is weakened. So not only am I dissatisfied with the mainstream journalists, I'm dissatisfied with a lot of alternative journalists out there as well doing this. Now, that said, you know who did their job? The BBC did their job. I'm about to show you a piece of a video. I'm not going to show you the whole thing because I'm sure most of you have seen it by now. But this video was dropped on the X 15 minutes at most after the shots rang out. And again, I want you to hear this. If you haven't, you must have been under a rock or something. But this is BBC doing the job our journalists should have been doing.
It was here. You weren't inside the event,
nope.
But you were just outside. Tell us what you saw. And So we had a party here all day. You can see behind us the Brinkles Farming Greenhouse here. We had a party. And we all decided, hey, you know, when we hear Trump up there, we're going to walk up through the field, stand by the trees up there under the shade, yeah. and listen to the rally, right? We couldn't see him, but we could hear him. So we walked up, and probably 5 to 7 minutes of Trump speaking, I'm estimating here, I have no idea, you know, but we noticed a guy crawling, bear crawling up the roof of the building beside us, 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, you know, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle, absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's a guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police were like, huh, what? You know, like they didn't know what was going on. You know, we're like, hey, right here on the roof. We can see him from right here. We see him. You know, he's crawling.
Now, we're going to get to incompetence and malice here in a second. I'm still on the media on this and their incompetence and their malice. So, again, this video has been dropped about 15 minutes after the first shots rang out by BBC, a legitimate media entity. At this point is when CNN and MSNBC are saying things like Trump fell, it was glass, we don't know. Okay, you got a firsthand eyewitness account. You got multiple videos of the dude on the roof. You got reports that he has a gun. You have clear gunshots going off. And these fuckers are still telling you bullshit. If you do not hate the media yet, something's wrong with you. I personally feel this way. However much you hate the media, you do not hate them enough. You don't have enough contempt for them at how bad they really are. Here's some things that I have heard said happen, but I cannot confirm. I cannot confirm this. So I'm reporting this as unconfirmed, but somewhat reliable source. There's at least one report that a local law enforcement, so that would either be a PA state trooper or like Butler County Sheriff or something like that, confronted the shooter. Like, confronted him and was like, the guy pointed a gun at him and the cop retreated. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that has been reported. And I'm still back to the BBC had more of the story in 15 minutes than our media had in 15 hours. And so we really don't, there's things we don't know here. And if we're not honest about that, I don't think we can go forward with this discussion as malice or incompetence, okay? But let's go on to malice. Let's go on that this was some kind of deep state hit job or something and see what evidence we have for that. Okay, I'm back to the diagram I showed you. Even with the trees in the way, okay, you've got trained Secret Service fucking counter-sniper team. So you've got a spotter and a shooter, and your spotter is also armed, by the way. You had a primary shooter, secondary shooter spotted. To think that they wouldn't have eyes on that roof is preposterous. It's ridiculous. And here's the explanation you would get from somebody that's informed. And I just don't buy it in this situation. Remember I told you there's like a tier one, tier two, tier three? Tier one are the people right around the president. Tier two are the cops that didn't do their fucking job that were being yelled at, that were patrolling the outer area, but close up to where the action is. And tier three is the counter snipers. They're looking way out. Well, here's the problem with that explanation here. If you go look this location up on Google Earth, and I have, there is not another rooftop that provides a vantage point to shoot the president where the president was. There are other buildings. There's built the building that the guy was on is in the fucking way. It's not like 300 yards out, there's a four-story building with a perfect sniper's nest. This is, if you went there, I don't care if you're a fucking idiot and your exposure to security, police action, et cetera, is watching like the TV series fucking SWAT, right? If that's as much as you know, you would go to this place and you'd say, if we're going to defend somebody that's going to be speaking right here, where's our area of greatest concern? you'd say, well, the audience that are closest to them, but knowing that they're going to like wand everybody that comes in, it's very hard to get a weapon inside. And the primary threat is a long distance shot from outside. You go that roof right there. So even though there was that, there is some obfuscation of visibility, it wasn't such that the guy couldn't shoot the son of a bitch. If you can see him, take a shot and blow his head off, you can see him, right? There's no way they made the shot when they did without having some ability to see where he was, or they wouldn't have shot him. And the guy had to clearly be a lunatic because he didn't have to get shot. He fired the shot at Trump. Trump goes down. He fires more shots. Then there's a lag. Then he fires more shots. Then there's a different sound of boom because a 308 and a 223 sound different, especially at different locations from where the audio is being picked up. That boom at the end is his head exploding. Okay, at that point, Trump was down and covered. All he really had to do was retreat, and he probably would have got caught. He may have gotten shot, but he absolutely, if he stayed where he was going to get his head blown off. So the guy was a lunatic. This guy was not a pro. If there's malice here, the shooter was a fucking patsy. And people say, well, they wouldn't do that. That's exactly what they would do. That's exactly what a deep state hit would look like. You don't want a pro because that can be traced back to somebody. It's a suicide mission, so you don't want to give up your pro. You got to have somebody really committed to the cause and know they're going to get freaking shot, right? This doesn't make sense. So this guy who is nowhere near a pro, this is a young kid, 20 years old, no real idea what he's doing. Probably a better shot than he was given credit for because, again, had Trump not turned his head exactly when he did, he would have killed him. He would have killed him. It was not like the guy was a shitty shot. It's not that far of a shot, but think about the whole situation. You got people screaming, there he is, he has a gun. By the way, that's the other thing might have saved Trump's life. The people on the ground, like he could hear those people. It's not far away. They're right there. It's actually surprising he didn't turn and shoot at them after he shot at Trump, but he didn't. He got his head blown off, which is at least one good thing to come out of this. But it seems impossible to me that those guys on Overwatch wouldn't be watching that roof. If you put me in that position those guys were on, no matter what my other areas of responsibility are, my eyes would have been on that roof like a 15-year-old kid that found his dad's Playboys. I mean, that is the greatest risk of attack that there is in the area. You can look at it over and over and you can't come to another conclusion. To me, that's evidence of some level of malice. Now, people say it must be the snipers then. Well, no, you do what you're told. What if when the report came in that there's a guy on the roof, they were given an order to hold fire? Or they were told that they had movement somewhere else and then they could claim it was an accident? I mean, I don't know, and we shouldn't pretend to know, but this is damning. This is damning that one way or another, as soon as that dude was on that roof, that nobody was keyed in on countermeasures at all. It also seems impossible to me, given the risk that that roof had. Again, I looked at it for 3 seconds and said, well, that's where I'd get on the roof. Zoom in. There's a fucking ladder. Gee, no shit, right? Like, that was so obvious as a risk point. Why wouldn't you have put a cop up on that roof? I mean, a fucking rental cop sitting up there watching the thing, drinking a beer, would have probably prevented the whole thing. I don't think that's the way to go. Don't say that's what I'm advocating, because no, I know we have some special people in the audience. I know we do. I hear from you. I'm just saying even that. Like, if that dude would have went to go up there and somebody said, hey, what the fuck are you doing? He would have hauled ass. This was not a very brave young man. This was a lunatic. And lunatics are always cowards. This guy was a coward, and he was also a coward ready to commit suicide, as far as I'm concerned. This is my opinion now. But he's one of those cowards that can't actually bring them. Like, this is long-range suicide by cop. I don't think he ever planned on living to the other end of this, because he would have taken different actions after firing the shots if he did. Like, there is, you know, there was, yeah, somebody's, I don't know if that's a question that says there was a freaking ladder. Yes, there was a freaking ladder. And I'm betting that's not a question. I bet that's like, what? Really? There was a ladder? Yeah, there was a ladder there. And the reason that person, Chuck, is saying there was a ladder is because it still hasn't been reported, has it? CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, nobody's reported the ladder. I showed it earlier in the live stream, clear as day picture. That slide's gone now, so I won't bring it back up. Yes, there's a ladder in the alcove of the building hidden by three upright shrubs. Perfect avenue of entry for a shooter. Like, you just had to know that that was going to happen. Then the media control. Remember I showed you the media control earlier? Like, all the bullet points, don't say this, do say this, don't look too excited. You know, like, that came out so fast that it seems, Chase, okay, I'll report it. I don't want to be inaccurate. I haven't seen it on MSNBC, CNN, or Fox, or anything like that. Chase says AP News covered the latter. That makes my point worse, doesn't it? Like, AP is the mother asshole from which all MSN springs, right? It's the mother asshole from which all news is spawned. When you see these videos and it's like Brady Bunch, and they're like, don't worry, be happy, don't worry. And it's all these local stations saying the same shit. All that shit's either out of Reuters or AP, okay? So this makes it worse. Thanks for telling me, Chase. So they didn't report the ladder, but the ladder was there. The media control seems like it was ready to go. Like, that list of shit not to do came out almost instantly that DC Drano reported that. And my God, how, that was so specific. It seemed like maybe someone knew in advance. I don't know. I'm just saying that's very circumstantial, but it's something to look at. And this is my biggest thing here. So I thought, Jack, you know a little bit. You know a little bit about this stuff, about security protocols and shit. Like I said, anybody that had watched, like, cop TV shows would have went, that roof's dangerous, right? That IQ over 85. But I reached out to four people on this. And one is a sheriff's deputy that is attached to an FBI task force and has been working with FBI task force as a deputy for almost a decade. Another one is someone who has actually worked directly with Secret Service multiple times. The other two, I don't even want to say anything about them because it actually could possibly reveal too much about them. So it's more for them than for me. Anything I'm about to tell you is, like, totally okay for me to say and anything, but maybe it's not okay for them to say it. But these are four very experienced people that know what to look for in this situation, that are specialists in this situation. And all of them said they can't believe it was incompetence. To me, that's more telling than us picking this apart as individual private people saying we know what happened because we saw it happen. Like, the roof is obvious. Like, none of this makes sense. When you have people, and by the way, two of them fucking hate Trump. Two of them fucking hate Trump. One hates Trump and hates Biden, refuses to vote for either one of them. But I would say generally more would be a Republican. The other guy is like a Biden supporter. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, this still, something's wrong here. No one, this is what all of them said. No one is this incompetent. One of them told me, I trust none of them. I said, you know, I think it's either FBI or DHS, or I'm sorry, FBI or CIA. He said, don't count discount DHS being involved with this. This is a very high-level person that said that. And I'm just saying, when those people tell you, no matter how incompetent you are, you're not this incompetent, you should at least take that as credible. If it was incompetence, this is the part, if new people come in and start shrieking at me, please let them know that what I just covered, okay? Because I know they're going to show up. But let's say if it was incompetence, let's say that there's no deep state conspiracy. They didn't weaponize the DOJ and have that fail. By the way, Trump just had his biggest charge dropped in the Florida documents case, which it should have happened because the president can declassify documents. I'm sorry. But if this isn't, we tried everything to get him and it didn't work, and then Biden fell on his face, and that, so we got to go into plan C, plan D, whatever it is, you know, plan assassinate Trump, whatever it would be called. And it was just incompetence. Back to what kind of security team, what kind of security commander who was over this op leaves that roof without a man on it. Not just under observation. Not cops walking around the giant building. That building's huge, by the way. You can't easily get between the buildings because they all have these tunnel ways that connect one module to the next. So if you have two guys walking around it, there's plenty of opportunity for somebody to get up on the roof and not be seen. How fucking incompetent, let's say it's incompetence, it wasn't anybody made a willful decision, how fucking incompetent do you have to be to leave that roof open? Like I said, a rental cop drinking a Busch Light up there would have probably prevented the whole thing. So the incompetence to me, in a way, is worse, in a way, than if it was malice. Because if it's malice, you have probably one or two or three people involved. And if you find them, the problem's gone. If it's incompetence, the entire thing is rotten to the core. If this is pure incompetence, we're fucked. I mean, imagine if you were a foreign government that's thought about, yeah, maybe popping off the president or the vice president or a former president or some dignitary. And you've always been thinking, man, if we send our best assassin in there, they're going to lay his ass out. We're probably, it's going to come back to us. We're going to get caught. And you see this happen. Aren't you thinking, shit, that would be easy. So I think this makes us, if it's incompetence, the risk that we now have to foreign governments that may want to take people out is huge. It's worse. The director of the Secret Service is a woman called Kimberly Cheadle. Now, a lot of scuttlebutt's been going around, and I checked into this, and it said, you know, before she was director of Secret Service, she was head of security for PepsiCo. Elon Musk tweeted, so that means a few months ago or a few years ago, she was guarding Cheetos. And I looked at that, and I said, is that true? And I looked up Kimberly Cheadle, and she was the head of security for PepsiCo. Well, my thought was you would want a person running Secret Service that had done the job of being a Secret Service agent. Turns out Kimberly Cheadle was a Secret Service agent for quite a while. She was actually a Secret Service agent when 9/11 happened and was on George Bush's detail when 9/11 occurred. So she is not without experience. She's been was a Secret Service agent beginning either 95 or 96 and did the job for over a decade. So I can't say that she has no knowledge of Secret Service, which, again, that actually pushes us back toward malice. Because my initial thought was, so the director is completely incompetent. But she is on the DEI train, diversity, equity, and inclusion. This video I'm about to show you it was bad 2 weeks ago, because this video is much older than that. If you were to watch this 2 weeks ago, you're like, holy shit. But in light of what just happened, it is incredibly damning. And it does lend credence to it could have been incompetence. Let me get this up real quick.
To expand hiring, they're aiming to have 30% women recruits by 2030 and even allowed YouTube influencer Michelle Carre to train with agents.
But I'm very conscious as I sit in this chair now of making sure that we need to attract diverse candidates and ensure that we are developing and giving opportunities to everybody in our workforce, and particularly women.
That workforce will be pivotal for the 2024 campaign season, which for the first time includes a former president who already has lifetime protection. Agents were there when Donald Trump was arraigned in New York.
We were able to work out the details ahead of time of how that particular day was going to go, but we will always ensure the safety of all of our protectees that we have.
The service has a zero-fail mission. A mission officers are training to uphold, pretending this field is the most famous address in America.
Okay. This is preposterous. I don't care what you think about the need for DEI if you're one of the special kids and you think we need things like this. There's certain places we need not to have these things going on, guys. Really. And a job that is protect the most important people in our government and protect. This is something else you have to understand about Secret Service. Ooh, that's interesting. I guess we'll call that breaking news. And Matthew, I know from other streams, and I have no reason to believe he would lie to me. Trump just named his VP, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, Well, we'll talk more about that when we get, I have something in here about his need to pick the right VP. So that's interesting. Let's go back to this though. The Secret Service doesn't just, we think of the Secret Service, they protect the president. Well, that's their highest charge. They also protect former presidents. And, you know, and so any president of the United States, after they leave office, is protected for life by Secret Service. So Bill Clinton has a permanent Secret Service detail right now. Bush Jr., same thing. Donald Trump, same thing. I won't even get into today how certain people on the left tried to strip Trump's Secret Service altogether. But they also protect a lot of dignitaries. There was a Secret Service agent in this audience many years ago. One of my things I actually collect. I don't collect a lot of things, but I like to collect books, specifically first editions, autographed by the author. I have one of the Dalai Lama's books, autographed by the Dalai Lama. And this Secret Service agent in my audience obtained that for me and sent that book to me. And so that's an example of the people that this agency protects. We have other world leaders, presidents, prime ministers, etc., that come into the United States. And if one of those people are killed while visiting here, assassinated by someone in our country, meaning not just obviously they'd have to be here, but a citizen of the United States, or just let's say country A is hated by country B and we're country C. Country A's dignitary comes to the United States to meet with our president. On the way to meet with our president of country C, country B's assassin kills him. This is a problem. This is a major, I mean, it's bad that somebody's dead, right? Especially somebody that was friendly to us or whatever. But from a diplomacy standpoint with that nation that he's from, it's a disaster. It's a huge international disaster, right? It's a potential war. You can't have a target to have 30% women in an organization like this. And there's a reason you can't have that target. Let me be clear. Badass female, can pass all the physical requirements, sharp, smart, capable. And I'm going to show you in a minute. That's not what we have. That is not what we have here. But if you have all that and you're a woman and you go for it and you can do all the things, if a guy my size comes through the audience and you can put me on my fucking ass and break my shoulder when you handcuff me to make sure that I don't get the fuck up and hurt anybody, I'm okay with it. But you better be able to handle my 52-year-old ass. If you can't at least handle me, then you got no business being a Secret Service agent. I'm blind in one eye. I got a bad ankle on one leg, a bad knee on the other, and a fucked up shoulder. And I guarantee you, most of these women in Secret Service, I could kill them with my bare hands. And if they had a sidearm, I could take it from them and beat them to death with it. I'm not saying I would ever hurt anybody. I'm just saying, like, that's my physical capability. And you're talking about, it's usually lunatics that do this stuff, but you could have a highly trained operative trying to hurt one of these people, and you're entrusting this to an out-of-shape woman that can't holster her gun, which I will prove to you in a minute. This cannot be. We cannot have this. So that actually leads to, this could be incompetence. I just don't know if there's enough of it to account for everything that we talked about today. I can't confirm this either, but I totally trust the source. Secret Service denies this claim that there were multiple requests for additional security for these Trump rallies that were denied by Secret Service and specifically Kim Cheadle. Now, I'll tell you, two reasons I believe it. One, earlier in the year, there was a discussion about more Secret Service for protection at Mar-a-Lago. And Cheadle is on freaking tape, on video, with audio, right? Saying, we don't guard nightclubs. So the predisposition to decline that request is already there. They're not saying they denied the request. They're saying it was never made. But the source of this information is a journalist, right-winger, mouthpiece, talk show host, Dan Bongino. But this is what I'll tell you about Dan Bongino. Throw the politics out, because politics are opinions, right? Like my opinion is. He is a former Secret Service agent. He still has many contacts inside the agency. He does know what he's talking about, and he says, I can absolutely tell you for a fact, these requests were made and denied. I trust him over fucking Kim Cheadle, who has a 30% DEI goal. And the reason you can't have that goal is not just because of unqualified applicants, et cetera. It's because you will have unqualified people become members of Secret Service if you have that goal. Because this is how goals work in government. You meet them. You meet them. We have to hire 3 in 10 new hires have to be female. There's no, you know what, ma'am, sir, whatever. I know that's our goal, but I just reviewed our candidates, and we need 20 candidates, right? And so we need 6 females, and I don't have 6 females that are qualified. What you're going to hear back, and I can tell you this is true, do you have 6 applicants? Do you have 6 applicants? Yeah, okay, then hire them. Hire the best 6 out of whatever you have. Now, they would have to have been in some kind of career path that gets you there, but that's what's going to happen. If you put a goal like this inside a corporation, it might become a problem, and it probably will. But if you put a goal like this inside a bureaucracy, it is going to happen. You're going to get into situations where the person making the selection is going to be required. This goes back in the Army to when I was a soldier, when I was 20 years old. They called it affirmative action at the time. And there were literally times where they're going to make, let's say, this promotion cycle, 20 new E6s in this job, and 5 have to be women. No matter how people fell in, like, promotion points and all that stuff, those five top women would get promoted, and then the 15 guys would compete for that. So I'm telling you, this is not new. This does happen. And when you put it inside a government agency, the goal will be met, damn the results. So this could be an incompetence thing, at least part of it. Now, this is my biggest problem, and this just was corrected this morning. Okay, I heard it right before I went live. I didn't hear it. I was doing some research to make sure I got it right. Has anything changed? And it has. But up until just a few hours ago, the Secret Service was questioned. You guys failed in your one real job, protect the protectee. Again, it doesn't matter if it's the president, the vice president. It doesn't matter if it's a foreign dignitary, a former president. You have one job, protect the protectee. You failed. No, he's not dead, but not because of anything you did. You did not save his life. You did not prevent him from being impacted by a round. The only reason he's alive is the shooter missed or the president turned his head. That's it. You failed. Given that you just fucking failed at your one job, do you have any plans to change your plans and protocols for the Republican National Convention that begins this week? Huh. Do you know what they said? No. What the fuck? I'm sorry to curse. You know, I know sometimes I curse a lot, sometimes a little, but what the fuck? How do you blow it this bad? Be seen blowing it this bad? Have video from hundreds of people circulating around showing that you blew it this bad? Having people that can barely function still go, yeah, man, that roof thing there, that was stupid. And go, no, we have no plans to change anything. When you fuck up, don't you change, don't you increase security. Now, about 30 minutes before I hit go live, I was doing some searching, and I found that the Secret Service is now going to increase security for the RNC now. Maybe that was the bridge too far, saying they weren't going to do anything any different, and they weren't going to change anything. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe somebody said, we better do something. In case something happens, we better at least say we're going to do it. Like, there's no guarantee they will now, but at least that did come out. Here's some stupid shit people are saying, though. And, you know, I thought, I've been doing this 16 years. The show turned 16 years old last month on June 20th. 16 years, 3,500 episodes. And I've followed stuff like this for at least a decade before I did it. So I'm 26 years in to paying attention to this stuff. And I thought I had heard every crackpot crazy conspiracy thing in my life. I thought, you know, there might be some shit. I'm like, man, that's stupid as hell. But I didn't think anything would make me go, holy shit, I would have never expected something like this. There are people saying this was a stunt, a kabuki theater done by Trump to boost his standings. I will grant you that is the results. Like, the dude has never been stronger with his chance to become president again than he is right now. So that did happen. But you would have to believe they hired a guy that was so good, he could be trusted just to nick Trump an ear. Of course, some people said it was a theater gel pack, right? See, but the first group says it literally was a bullet, and the guy nicked his ear on purpose. He trusts somebody to do this to win an election. And the same guy kills another person in the audience, wounds others. Like, if you were going to do all that, wouldn't you take the one shot and hope it didn't hit somebody? Try to line it up. So, like, this is so stupid, it doesn't even make sense. But there's people that believe this. Now, the guy that fired the shots is dead. Now, isn't that convenient? Does that make us think of anybody? Right? Does the guy that did the shooting is dead before anybody could get any information from him? And unlike that, you know, unlike when that happened, there's no need to get rid of the guy that got rid of him, right? You guys know who I'm talking about, I hope. I can't even, my brain locks up trying to think about somebody twisting it this much, but I'll tell you what it is. It's anti-Trump people saying it, obviously. No pro-Trump person is going to say this. There are people that hate this man so much. I said when he was president, if it came out that Trump personally went into a laboratory and cured fucking cancer, they would condemn him for putting doctors out of work and making pharmaceutical companies lose money. That's the people that would say this. The media and leftist politicians are not to blame for what happened. That's another thing stupid people are saying. That's not conspiracy stuff. That's just stupid. The media gets a lot of blame. The left-wing politicians get a lot of blame for this. I want you to think about it this way. If a person really believes the following things about Trump, which the media and left-wing politicians have been saying nonstop for years now, he is going to be a dictator for life. The Supreme Court has, and a Supreme Court justice said this, by the way, granted him the power to order SEAL Team 6 to execute his enemies and face no repercussions for it, and to just stay in office and use military force to do anything he wants. He's literally Hitler 2.0. It is the end of our democracy if he gets elected. Okay? If somebody really believes this, he is going to round up and jail journalists. He's going to take away women's right to vote. This is all things that these people have said, not once, not some random TikTok retard. This is stuff that serious people, or at least well-known people, have said. I don't think any of them are serious people. But it's hard to think of somebody that's more serious than a Supreme Court justice saying, well, if you can do this, then SEAL Team 6 can be ordered to execute your political enemies. If somebody really believes that, what is the logical thing for that person to, or Project 2025 bullshit? Something totally disconnected. Trump has nothing to do with it. Project 2025 is like a right-wing wish list that any retard can add information to out of the Heritage Foundation, right? And it's like a thousand-year plan. It's not what we're going to do in 4 years. Much of it's not doable at all, right? But if you believe it's all true, and then if, like, even what's in Project 2025, the things they say are in it are not even in it. If you believe all that and you think you can actually pull it off, if you really believe what they've saying, wouldn't you think that a person might do this? Look, I'm no threat to Joe Biden. I certainly don't want him to be our president anymore. I don't think he's qualified to be our president, but I don't even vote. But if I believed that Joe Biden was what they say Donald Trump is, and I don't, then I would be like, maybe I need to risk my life to do this to save my country. You see what I'm saying? When you tell people this, and this goes back to 2016, they were attacking this man with lunacy before he even had the Republican nomination in the first election, and it's only gotten worse since then. He's a traitor to our country. He's a tool of Putin, etc. Like, they get blame. Anybody defending the media on this and saying, and the left, and saying they don't get any blame for this, it's really the right that made it about violence, it's insanity. And another thing that I think is stupid is there's people saying that the Secret Service was trying to get Trump killed when they let him stand up and raise his fist. You know, I'm going to tell you something. No matter how much you're going to do to protect somebody, there is a certain amount of personal choice involved. And when a man like Trump says, wait a minute, let me get my shoes and say something to these people, he's going to get some ability to do that. He's also kind of a big dude. And, you know, it's kind of hard to move somebody like that doesn't want to move when your job is to protect them, and moving them might hurt them. So I think anybody saying that, like, there was one shot where one of the women is, like, bending down to pick something up. And they're saying that was when she was given – I think she was just incompetent. She's also the same woman that couldn't holster her weapon, by the way. It's that same person. But I think that he told her to pick something up or something like that. I don't know. And that was stupid, but I don't think it was intentional. And I think what I'm saying is this is bad enough. This is bad enough that we do not need to add to it any more than we know there is. Or at least if we're going to talk about speculation, let's be clear, we don't talk like we know. I want to kind of finish up with a few things. Number one, the failure isn't as bad, but it is as big as if Trump was killed. I know I said that already, but I want to say that again. Here's what I mean by that. If the protectee dies, that is the worst possible outcome for Secret Service. There's no doubt about that. So the outcome wasn't as bad as it could have been. Again, though, remember, two people in critical condition, one man lost his life, another person lost their life that I don't care about. The guy, you come and try to kill somebody and somebody kills you back, I got nothing for you. I barely, because I'm a human being with empathy, I do feel a little bit for this man's family, but barely. I feel a hell of a lot more for the gentleman who died's family, and even for the two that are injured and probably will recover, for their family, than I do for his family. He did what he did. Okay? But the president having a shot fired at him that happened to not kill him is not a success. This result is as bad as it can be from a standpoint of the mission of the organization. Not having the guy die by luck is not anything that measured towards success. I also want to tell you again, if he is not shot or killed in some way, assassinated between now and November, he is your president 47. Like, there is no way he there's just no way. The level of popular support of the undecided, the middle, and I'll tell you what else is going to happen here. The people that come in and vote that weren't going to vote for Biden or RFK or whatever, they just weren't going to vote. There's going to be a landslide of people coming in and voting. I bet you see voter registration numbers going way up on the Republican side going forward for people that weren't even going to vote. They want to make sure they're registered in time for November. Non-voters are going to go vote. You know why I know that? I don't vote. I'm not going to vote. There's a piece of me that wants to now. There's a piece of me that wants to now. I want to see the right win because I want to see the left lose. The left has to lose given the last 3.5 years. Given all the way back to Trump getting elected, what the left has done, COVID, all of it, the left has to lose. And I know what some of you'd say, well, then, Jack, why don't you go do it? Because I would only do it to virtue signal. My state is going to go to Trump. There is no question about that. I would make no difference in the election, and I do not believe in voting for someone that I don't actually want to be president. And I don't really want either one of them to be president. But I still want Trump to win. There's a difference in, do you want this man as your president, or do you want him to win? I want him to win because they need to lose. And I do think we might be a little bit better off with it. There's also something I want to share with you now, and I got to be very clear that I didn't, oh, it's missing now. Where did it go? Oh, no, here it is. Okay, I got it. There was a guy, and I don't believe this stuff, but this is so weird. And this, I have, this is from Paul Joseph Watson. He included it in a video he dropped today. Guy that considers himself a prophet that made a prophecy 3 months ago. And I know for some of you, you're going to be like, you're going to be praying after you hear this, like saying, you know, like this must be true or whatever. Again, I don't believe in stuff like this, but it is crazy accurate with what just happened, other than what the outcome may or may not mean. Listen to this. This is stand your hair up, chilling.
Trump turned his head at the last second, saving his life. Fate or divine intervention? God must have been watching down. In the end, they're not coming after me. They're coming after you. And I'm just standing in their way. Really makes you think.
And I saw Trump rising up. And then I saw an attempt on his life. This bullet flew by his ear. And it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum. And I saw he fell to his knees during this time frame, and he started worshiping the Lord. He got radically born again during this time frame.
Some people are saying America was 1 millimeter away from civil war.
Okay, again, I'm not saying there's anything to that. I'm just saying it was so radically wild that I could not include that today. I mean, that's, wow, just absolutely crazy wild. And I'm telling you that's a legitimate video in that it came out 3 months ago. I'm also telling you that Paul Joseph Watson is very opinionated. He's obviously full-on right-winger. But when he reports a thing as a thing that happened, it's almost 100% accurate that it did happen. And I want to say something here. So the agorist attorney is saying in my live chat, do not like religious stuff. I think when you mix religious stuff with politics, things get really scary. I'm not mixing religion and politics, bro. I don't know how much more clearer I could have been, and I don't know if you mean it the way that I think you mean it. But basically, I'm just telling you this happened. This is not about politics and religion missing. This is about a guy 3 months ago saying he saw a vision, and then the thing that he said he saw happened. Now, I'll also tell you how I think a lot of these things work. These people say 1,000 things, and maybe one of them hits. And then they say, look. So I don't know what happened as far as that. I don't know who this guy is. I just know the video is legitimately 3 months old of that man saying that was going to happen, and I didn't want to leave that out today. Again, the classified documents case was just thrown out. Like, everything is lining up for Trump at this point. And if you're one of the people, they're like, we got to stop Trump. I'm sorry. I wanted to talk about his choice for VP and it being very important now. And I'm not sure, but I think he at least got closer to what I was thinking he needed to do. I think J.D. Vance will qualify the way I'm about to say. He needs a competent version of what Kamala Harris is for Joe Biden. So Joe Biden's people, because Joe Biden didn't pick anything. I don't think he's capable. Joe Biden's people said, we need someone that fits the DEI model, even though, you know, supposedly it's racist for me to say she's a DEI hire. I think when you have a presidential candidate come out and say, I'm going to have a vice president we're going to announce. I don't know who it is, but it will be a black female. That's the definition of DEI. So instead of looking for the most qualified person, you said, let's start with a quota. And we have to get one of these. That's the definition of DEI. But I lost my train of thought there for a second. Sorry about that. I just had a Biden moment. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Kamala was Biden's insurance policy. I said this last week. If Kamala Harris was a competent person that people could see doing a good job as president, Biden would already be off the ticket. They would already got rid of him. I don't think that's where Biden's people were thinking about it directly. I think they were more thinking about it like an attack vector, Republicans getting a supermajority, thinking about impeaching the president, something like that. That they wanted it to be terrifying to the right that they would lose Biden and end up with Kamala. Okay. Trump, I think with this having happened, and I say it's 80-20, you know, 80% it was malice, 20% it was just incompetence. Flip it around. 20% it was malice, 80% it's incompetence. Make it worse. 5% it was malice, 95% it was incompetence. Again, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But let's say it was. As Trump, if there's a 5% chance that somebody inside my own government tried to have me killed, then I want to ensure my life and my presidency with a vice president that they're more scared of than me. I would have picked Vivek. I believe that the federal government would be terrified of President Ramaswamy. I don't think they're too happy about a J.D. Vance. I can think of better people, but of the people on the short list, he was probably the best choice to fill that role of the people that were actually named, because Ramaswamy wasn't a named shortlister. I'm actually surprised that Trump went with an actual named shortlister. I really expected him to pull something like a rabbit out of the hat, like, and maybe not be as dumb about it, but like Mike Pence. Like, Mike Pence was not on the short list in 2016. No, like when Mike Pence was announced, there was a lot of people who went, what the fuck is a Mike Pence? And they were Googling his name. I didn't know who he was. I had no idea. I mean, if you were from Ohio, I guess you knew. I had no idea who Mike Pence was. So I thought he might pull something like that, but be a little smarter about it. But J.D. Vance, I think that was really a solid choice. The media, in my opinion, just reached a brand new low with public trust. I think there's a lot of people that were still willing to give them a little bit of trust that what they just witnessed, it's over. It's over. Like, I don't know that the media can ever regain trust. I think CNN was trying. I really do. I think the Biden-Trump debate was an attempt by CNN to try to look like journalism again. I really do. They did a fair debate. They fact-checked Biden. And they pointed out what he lied about. It's one thing to say he fucked up. I get that. But to fact check him the way that they did, and they ran, I don't care what you're going to say. CNN ran this one of the most square, fair debates I've seen in the last 20 years. It was completely even-handed. And I think that they had lost so much. They're like, we got to do something to win people's trust back, even if it doesn't get us the result we want. In the macro, we need it internally. We need ratings. We need to pull people back in. I think they realized that, like, there were a shitload of people that were going to watch CNN the night of that debate that normally never watch CNN. And they had to look like they were actually doing their jobs. This? Saying shit like the president fell down, the Secret Service interrupted the event, there was an incident. When people were watching the damn thing happen right in front of them going, that's what happened. When people were seeing videos from cameras being held up of a dude with a rifle crawling on the roof, knowing if they could see it, the media could see it, and still using that terminology, I think one of the best things to come out of this is that the media is now lower than the maggots underneath the dog shit at the bottom of the trash can. And that's exactly where they belong. It's exactly where American mainstream media belongs. Below the dog shit, in the maggot goo at the bottom of the can. That's what they are. And if they want to change that, they got a long way to go. Here's the thing, though. No matter what, things are going to be different now. I'm going to say some names from Russia. People are going to take it the wrong way because you're going to choose to. I'm making an analogy here, not the same as Boris Yeltsin, Vladimir Putin. That's now a way of looking at Donald Trump and Joe Biden. So for those who don't know, especially you young bucks, right, and young buckettes, right, young does, I guess, young ducks and young bows, young bucks and young does. The president of Russia prior to Putin was a guy named Boris Yeltsin. He did not take care of himself at all. He was an alcoholic that could not get his drinking under control. He had a heart attack and coronary bypass surgery while he was president, and he still didn't take care of himself. He was always sickly, and because of his substance problem, he was not effective. When the Russian people looked at Vladimir Putin, they saw a guy that was in shape and took care of himself and had his act together. Now, you can hate him. I don't care. I'm saying that's how the Russian voter looked at it and went, yeah, we can't have this anymore. And I think actually that's part of why Putin's been able to get reelected in landslides for so long. There's a lot of living Russians that still remember those days. And they feel pretty good about having, like, they're going to have somebody in charge. But that contrast, now I ain't saying Trump's up here, like, composed with his shirt off, riding on the back of a horse and flip people into judo mats. What I am saying is, and I don't, if you can't accept what I'm about to tell you, then you have TDS. You hate the man so bad you can't say a single thing positive about him. And I'm just not that guy. I can come up with something positive to say about Biden. You want me to do it? Let me think. It's a little hard. Okay, even though he completely fucked up the how he ended the Afghan war. Okay, at least it was like, we're fucking done, we're out. Okay, I'll give him that. Could have done a hell of, like, terrible job in execution, but yes, we needed to get the hell out of there. We needed to get the hell out of there before we even got in, right? I mean, we needed to get out right from it, the beginning. We needed to not be there. So ending it, okay, I'll give you something nice. Now I'm going to say something about Trump in this. When somebody tries to kill you, when you become a centimeter away from being killed, and trust me, while you're down on the ground with a bunch of Secret Service agents on your back, and you hear those other shots go off, and you hear that return shot go off, you know what happened. Unlike the media that were like, it could have been glass. We don't know. There could have been firecrackers and somebody throw a bottle. We don't know, right? He knew what happened. To stand the fuck up, raise your fist with blood streaming down your face, and say fight, 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 while there could still be somebody else trying to take you out, is pretty fucking badass. It's pretty fucking brave. And I want anybody here, or you're watching this after the fact, the video, or you're listening to the audio after the fact, go ahead and tell me in the comments. If you can't do it in the chat, do you believe that this would have ever been what would have happened if it was Joe Biden? Let's say that Joe Biden was doing a speech to his 35 or 40 people to show for one of his speeches. Somebody whizzed a shot at him, nicked his ear, and they put him on the ground to protect him. And when they went to get him up, to get him the hell out of there, that he would stand up and raise his face and say, fist and say, I'm okay. We're not done yet. Does anybody believe that could have happened at all? And Silver Money Dude is saying it's a photo op. If you mean that organically it became that because it just happened that way, 100%. If you mean it was staged, you're fucking retarded and I don't want to talk to you. I already covered that earlier. Richard says it's a 0.00001 chance that Biden would have done that. I think you're overly optimistic. There is no way in hell that Biden would have stood up and been brave in that situation, unless he didn't know what happened, which I guess that's the 0.00001 chance. He would have been just let off. Like, he probably would have been carried like a body. They would have thought he was dead. And I'm going to tell you why I think Trump did that. I think there's a few reasons why. Number one, I think it's just who he is. I think the guy is just fucking a tough-ass man, a relatively brave person, and he has the heart of a fighter. I don't think he's in amazing physical condition or anything. I don't know that he could handle himself in a fight. I'm just saying when it comes down to it, he is a fighter. He's a person that will fight. And I don't think you get to where he did in life without that being who you are. And I think that the fact that he's been willing, I'm going to tell you, those of you that don't think there's lawfare going on, that they didn't weaponize the justice system against Trump, if he had not run again, he wouldn't have had a single charge brought against him. This was all because he chose to run and he knew it would happen and he did it anyway. I think there is a hell of a fighter in Trump. That's one. I think two, he really does care about people. Now, you can care about people and not do good things for them because you're misled. So this is not like putting him on a pedestal. But I think in his worldview, he really cares about the people of this country. And I think he definitely cares about the people that come to his rallies and support him, vote for him, etc. Many of you have never stood in front of a group. I've never been in front of a group the size of Trump, but I've stood in front of 1,000, 2,000 people and spoke to them. and had them cheer me on and cheer for me and clap and support me. And if you've never experienced that, it's hard to understand what it's like. There is a bond that happens in a presentation like that where you know there are people shouting to you, cheering for you, clapping for you, believing in you. They came there to see you. They gave you their time. They sat down in front of you. They listened to what you had to say. And when you're done, they let it all out. There's an energy exchange that happens there. Trump's been doing this for a long time. And I think it was very important to him that the people that were there knew that he wasn't gone, that he was going to be okay, and that he wasn't done. I think that was 100% legitimate reality for him in that moment. There are people that said, well, that was really stupid. Sometimes brave things are kind of dumb. Sometimes a brave thing is something that you probably shouldn't do. I've heard people say, well, it was his political instincts kicking in. I don't think that's what you're thinking about in that moment. I don't think that's what you're thinking about in that moment. I think what you're thinking about in that moment is this motherfucker tried to kill me and I ain't done yet. They're after you and I'm in the way. I think Trump is 100% genuine when he says that. You know, and I know when I say, you know, like a person can be care about people and not necessarily be a good person or a good president or a good leader or whatever. Green Country Agroforestry made a perfectly good point here. Jimmy Carter cared about people, didn't make him a good president, though. I'll agree with that. I think Trump's a hell of a lot better president than Jimmy Carter, but it's valid. So, and I'm saying that mainly for the people that don't like the man, that hate the guy. It's okay to acknowledge there are some good things about a person that you do not like. In fact, I challenge you to do so. Okay, I challenge you to do so because it's called friggin' Dave there. It is called being a fucking grown up. It's called being a grown up to be able to look at somebody you don't like and say, even though I don't like this person, even though I got a list this long of reasons I hate them, that I can say this about them as a positive. In fact, I'll tell you, I can't remember the, it might have been Glenn Beck, was the guy that actually did some journalism. That said one time, when I am looking for a pundit to be on my show to regularly talk, like I'm going to have an issue and I'm going to bring in someone from Team A and Team B, and I want them to be able to lay out their side's case for the thing that we're talking about. The first thing I ask them before I decide that I am going to use them and let them on the air with me is, can you tell me something the other side does better than you? And if they can't come up with anything, I don't use them. And there's a few here. I can see you guys. Grow up. Grow up and acknowledge that you can have someone you don't like and they still have some positive attributes. If you can't do that, then you're not logical, reasonable, rational. And I would believe that a lot of these people are probably the kind of people who would shriek and scream insurrection about January 6th. I'm back to, you know, if you think January 6th was an insurrection, you don't know what the fucking word insurrection means. You have no idea what you're talking about, and hopefully for you, you'll never see one. AB says, most of us learned lessons the hard way. I don't know what you're talking about specifically, but I agree with you. There's a bunch of super chats today. I just want to acknowledge all of them real quick before we wrap up. JD Drafts, $5. Thank you. I appreciate it. Chicken Hawk Farmstead, 99 cents. I'll take it. Thank you. Richard Hastings, $2 says crazy weekend. And Jordan, $4.99 says thank you for actual information and some analysis as a man with a brain. Almost forgot how rare that's become, value for value. Thanks, Jordan. And I do have a question. Dark Horse says, what's your general just 10,000 foot view quickly on J.D. Vance? I appreciate you and love you, man. Thanks for everything. I think he was a solid pick. I think it is outside the swamp creature pool of people. I think some of the people on the short list, swamp creatures, insiders, people that the left would generally say, if we get rid of Trump, this is better for us type of situation. I think Vance is somebody that might be the next president of the United States after Trump, that, dare I say, never even would have been in the running had he not been named Trump's running mate. I think he's the kind of guy that it's not quite what I would want to see if I was strict. And again, this is not about what I want politically, because what I want politically is no fucking government. Okay. I don't want any government at all. And as close as I can get to zero, but I'm saying you bring me in as a strategist and say, what is the archetype that we need to pick from as a VP for Trump, especially after what happened this weekend? Vance is way closer than anybody else on that list, but he's not quite where I would want somebody to be. I keep hearing people talk about RFK as a VP pick for Trump. You live in fucking fantasy ass land. If you've ever been on the Small World freaking ride at Disneyland, that is closer to reality than what is ever in your brain. Now, it's one people to say that I think it would be cool if. Okay, yeah. But the people that are actually, like, there are people talking about it as though it could possibly happen. Or this stupid shit, Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, come on. Like, you want to talk about being wrapped up? Wrapped up in the performance arena of the WWF wrestling that is modern politics? Tulsi Gabbard. Let's put her in some tiger stripe camo and have her talk some bullshit that totally differs with everything she did while she was in office, and you'll believe it. She switched over like Macho Man and Hogan. Ah, we're buddies now. Come on. Rand Paul? Rand Paul would have been a great pick, but also was never going to happen. But at least it was possible. I think the reason Rand didn't make the short list, too much bad blood. There was some real bad blood back in the 2016 election between Rand and Trump. I remember during Trump's term, it was prior to COVID, he said something to the effect of, I don't know what it takes to get Rand Paul's support on something, but I think it's worth it once you do. That's about as friendly as they ever got, and Rand was kind of on his side with that. Rand is also extremely anti-vax, full on COVID was a freaking psyop, which makes him perfect in my opinion, but doesn't fit with Trump, because what Trump can't do yet is say, hey, the vaccine was a mistake. He's still taking credit for it. So I just don't see that could have ever worked, but it was at least possible. You people that think it'd be RFK or some shit. Like, you know what some people said as we wrap up here? Some people said when Trump was lost to Biden, which I believe was not a fair called election. I do not believe it was a legitimate win for Biden. I'm sorry. I just don't. When you show me video of people pulling suitcases out from under desks and starting the counting back up after they said it was closed down at 1 o'clock in the morning in Georgia, I don't believe you. I don't believe you that it was legitimate. When you have districts where there were more votes for Democrats than people in the district eligible to vote, I don't believe you. Okay, when I see video evidence of people stuffing 30, 40, 50, 60 ballots into a drop box at 2 o'clock in the morning, when I see that same person show up on the other side of town at a different drop box for obfuscation, I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all. I just don't. Anyway, I think we'll wrap up there. I hope you guys enjoyed today's show. I hope it brought you something a little bit different, because I've been watching the same thing flip over. Like, I'll put the TV on, I'll watch it for 10 minutes, and I'm like, okay, nothing new. The next day, you put it on, watch it. It's the same shit rolled over again. I wanted to cover this a little bit differently. I wanted to propose the possibility that it's not malice, that it could be incompetence. I wanted to also propose the fact that it could be malice. I wanted to give a fair hearing to all of the evidence that we have so far, and I'll make a prediction for you. You'll never know what really happened. I don't think we will ever hear an interview with the sniper that killed the guy that shot Trump. Now, we should. You'd think they would want to do that. Then he could say, couldn't see him, hadn't had a clearance to shoot yet, whatever. As soon as we knew it was a threat, we took him out. He's a hero, right? At least a lot of people would believe it, even if you go, hey, that doesn't make sense. But I don't think we'll ever hear that. The cops that were around that building, I don't think will ever be interviewed by any serious journalists at all. I think that a lot of those people have probably already been told to shut their mouths, not to talk to the police, not to talk to the press. If you do, you won't have a job, or worse. And if you don't think that shit happens, it happened in the 60s with Kennedy. I have firsthand accounts of it happening by people that were living here in the Dallas area in the 1960s when it happened, of people showing up at their house the day after or 2 days after saying, shut your mouth. And these weren't even important people. They were just people that were already interviewed and on the record as having been firsthand accounts when the investigation began. And G-men went out and said, you keep your mouth shut. And most of them did. Because as much as you think, you would be like, no, fuck you, I'm going to talk. Let me tell you something. When people like that from the government show up, especially when you're not actually somebody that important, and they tell you, you're going to keep your mouth shut, it's pretty intimidating. It's pretty intimidating. Anyway, with that, hope you guys have a great day for the rest of the day. Tomorrow, when we come back, we are not going to talk about any of this anymore. If you have questions or things you want me to expand on, maybe we'll do another show later on it. You can email that to me, or any questions you have for me, jack@thesurvivalpodcast.com, TSPC in the subject line. But tomorrow, I don't know what we're going to talk about. But it will not be politics. It will not be any of this shit. There's going to be enough of that this week. We got the RNC convention this week. We'll talk about something practical for preparedness, homesteading, permaculture, something to cleanse ourselves of all this disgustingness. But again, I'm going to tell you, you just watched a legend get created. I don't care if you don't like it. You can dislike the man all you want. You can just not like him with some common sense. You can be full-scale TDS. There's no denying it. That picture of that man with his fist raised and that blood running down his face has cemented his place in American history as a badass sumbitch. I mean, when you have somebody being compared to Teddy Roosevelt, which is literally about the only guy you can compare him to in this situation, Roosevelt got up and got shot in the chest, 50-page speech. The paper slowed the bullet down where it only did, you know, it was still an issue. He had a bullet in him, pulled out his speech, holes in it and all, and read his speech. You got to go back to that. I mean, they tried to kill Andrew Jackson. He beat the shit out of the guy with his cane. That's who you got in American history that has a story like this. Catch you guys tomorrow. Take care. Just run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.